Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness, don't do that. Welcome to the program tonight. All of you who are around the world, we're glad to have you. For those of you that's watching, and it looks like I have that technology stare, I do. Like, wow, that's a new one. You would think you can't have that many new ones. You might just be surprised. But regardless of it all, we are the force on this earth. And so we welcome you . There we go. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another in the series of Establishing Your Faith, where we all grow and develop in faith every single day of our life. And as this song, the great gospel song says, we're going from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And the Apostle John said, from grace to grace. And we're doing it by the glory of the Lord. And we get a revelation of God and his glory. And then we move on up to the next revelation of God and his glory. You know, I love Revelation. You know, I love the book of Revelation, but I love the revelation of God's word, how it fills our lives with answers. It fills our life with wisdom and knowledge and understanding, gives us great peace on the inside. And, you know, as we study this message, these messages and all these verses on righteousness, I severely, severely encourage you to just every night say, Jesus, help me receive the revelation of this. Because as he is sitting on that throne, so are we in this earth, sitting in that chair where you're sitting now tonight. And you know, I was listening. I listened to a bunch of different preachers today in my study for tonight and all this. Hold on a second. I was listening to somebody talk about righteousness. I'm studying righteousness. And one of the things they said was, a woman had a cancer report that they found a lump in her breast. And she went home and was praying. And she had just really started getting the revelation of, as he is, so are we in this world. And she said, Jesus, do you have a lump in your breast? And he said, no. She said, well, then neither do I, because as he is, so am I in this world. She went back to the doctor the next day, and they said, doesn't seem that you have any lumps in your breast. And so let's just ask a simple question tonight. Jesus, do you have any sin in you? No, neither do I. I have righteousness that came from you. That's a good thought. Isn't that a good thought? I love it. And you might not get this yet, but I'm telling you, I get it. And I will spend every day helping every one of you to see who you are in Christ. Truly, I'm going to help you see who you are in Christ. Because as soon as you see it, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You will always stand in great strength and victory every day of your life. Isn't that something? Well, I had a good video here, a short that I was going to play for you, but I've done a serious amount of scrolling and I just don't see it. So it'll be all right. We'll just keep on moving. Because it's right on this same thought process. So, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to have every one of you with us. And no matter where you're streaming from, around the world, right here in the United States of America, thank you for being with us. Last night, we had 9 streamers with us on our evening program. Thank you for being there with us, studying with us. I really want you to ask questions, seriously. Type them into the comment section on YouTube or Zoom. Those of you that's on Blog Talk Radio, send them by email. I really want you to type in questions. And I want you to say every day, all day long, as he is, so am I in this world. Why? Because it's going to change who you are when you get that revelation of that one verse. When you get the revelation of the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside my mortal body, giving me life. You won't ever be weak again. You won't ever be sick again. Doesn't say that sickness may not attack you, but you won't be sick. You won't be down under it because you'll say, wait a minute, I got Jesus. Hey, Jesus, are you sick tonight? Nah, neither am I. As he is right now, so are we, am I, on this earth right now. So I'm not sick. You know, I'm making relish right now. We have a good friends here in town, Byron and Elena. Good people here. And we met them at the Ark, and we were loading giraffes. That's a joke. Okay. We met them at the Ark. It's an exercise place. And I went there today to get some more peppers because he gave me a bunch of green tomatoes so I could make relish like my mom makes relish. And so, you know, I went there this morning and got a bunch of them and was standing there talking to him, you know, about the weather and about everything like that. Is it Roger? Is it Roger? Welcome, sir. Good to have you.
Good to see you.
Good to be seen.
I just gave my nephew some of your information.
All right.
Hopefully he will go on YouTube, because I didn't want to give him the Zoom information because you don't know who he is. So I gave him your YouTube, your Blog Talk Radio, and your email.
Amen. That'll work. That'll work.
The ball's in his court. The ball's in his court.
Amen. You know what? We've all come to the understanding. You can't make somebody receive what they don't want to receive, but there's nothing wrong with presenting it to them right in front of their face and handing it right into their hand and saying, here you go. Let me help you walk you into it.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' mighty name. And that way we can truly be a very, very, very wonderful blessing to people's lives. So I encourage you, all of you that are with us, wherever you may be around the world, make sure you contact us and just say, Pastor, I'm here. And we're a part of what's going on. And thank you. Thank you, every one of you. Thank you for being here and being a part of this great program. Your faith, your presence, and your participation makes the program a very powerful place to come and learn of God. Now,
not to interrupt you or nothing, but I told him I'm not going to give him the Zoom stuff until he goes ahead and either emails you or goes on YouTube or Blog Talk Radio. Without your permission, they're going ahead and just putting them on Zoom. I didn't want to do that.
It's all right.
Okay?
Yep. That's good. That's good. And, all you got to do is come on by and join the family. And it's real painless. Just show up. And we'll make you a part of this family, and you'll grow in God in ways you never even knew. Honestly, you'll grow in God in ways you never knew.
The great amen.
We want you to continually grow in God. I was starting to tell you something there, but anyways, we had over 10 hours of viewers last night during the program from people that were connected to it. So I encourage you to be connected. Now, this subject is one that really crosses the border for a lot of people from this point of view, because they have been trained, there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, on that day, in that place where that person was speaking, that was true. But there's a whole mess of us that are righteous, because you're either a sinner or you're righteous. You're either a sinner or you're a saint. There's no in-between almost place. You've either believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved. You've been born again, made a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, filled with the righteousness of God, made into the righteousness of God. That's either the case or you're still a sinner. And so you're like, well, don't call me no sinner, Pastor. Well, the bottom line is this. This isn't difficult. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so don't make it more difficult than what it actually is. The message, the short I was going to play with for you, is Brother Jesse Duplantis. He's got a short that's about 8 minutes long that says, quit spending so much time trying to become what you already are. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Just receive it and believe it and get the revelation of it. And I'll find it. Probably not before the program's done, but I'll find it and I'll play it for you, because Brother Jesse teaching that simple process, and he's doing it with some humor, and we all love Brother Jesse for that anyways. And if you don't, just go along for the ride and say yes and amen, and we'll play the preacher you like the best too, in Jesus' name. Beautiful day here in North Dakota. almost 80 degrees this afternoon. And from what they're saying, today and tomorrow is the last days above 70. And then 70, we'll see you next March. It's sort of encouraging. We'll see you next March. And, you know, the seasons are changing. And that's always the easiest time in all of our lives to make a change on the inside of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, I want to leave us plenty of time tonight to study this, because I want to read for us tonight all of the verses of the New Testament that have the word sin. And you might be like, oh boy, Jesus help me. Here we go. Well, if you see what sin is from God's perspective, and you see what righteousness is from God's perspective, then you won't live in sin and you will live in righteousness. And when you see Jesus on the day of judgment, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And if he doesn't say that, he's going to look at you and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Well, I got a word for you. You don't want to hear Jesus make that statement to you, because that will be forever eternal damnation. And so I want to start out with some encouraging verses for tonight. And remember, the only thing we're doing is studying what the Bible says. This is not a message of condemnation. This is not a message of hellfire and brimstone. This is not a message where I'm going to name one sin as bigger than the other, because that's not God. This is just a message where you and I are going to get a broader picture of what the Bible actually says, so that we can make a decision on the inside and say, wow, I didn't know it said that or that or that. And yet it does. And that's why we have these times of diligent study like this, where we go, where we return to the foundations of our faith and we speak them again and solidify them in our lives. Now, let's go real quick. We'll make our opening confession together. Almost there. Let's read our theme for the year first. 2022, I am rewarding you. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Then God said to me, you will see many answers that come to you quickly. I am the God answers and the God of thee immediately. Revelation 22, 12 through 14. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And now, our opening prayer. Pray this with me. Right at your home, speak it out loud. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. We fulfill the Great Commission today. And Jesus would speak to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. Amen and amen. And now let's pray our Ephesians prayer for the body of Christ around the world, those that's connecting to the international network of prayer and faith, those who are reaching out saying, God, I want to know more of you. Here we go. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. Ephesians 4:11-13. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness and vision today for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Say it boldly, that I may be filled with all fullness of God. Powerful, powerful, powerful verse. Here's the result of the fivefold ministry teaching and training us and you and I growing, that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose their wicked, deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. And now the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. And we are going to pray this over every patriot that is doing something tonight to make a difference in this nation politically. Father, how did we skip that screen? We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. May God bless America. Thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. As we the people, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. I thank you for your faith. I thank you for coming and praying these prayers with us and proclaiming them boldly. There's no other way but prayer to move the mountain. God, the Holy Spirit said, pray without ceasing. And therefore, we will do that so that we can continually see the victory right here in the United States of America. Now, let's get to our prayers. Let's get to our lesson tonight. Now, let me write this time down here. Remember, I will have a timestamp in the comments of the YouTube video so that as often as you want to go study this, you'll be able to click on that timestamp and go right straight to it, and you'll be able to go right to the beginning of the message, and it'll skip all these preliminary conversation and the different things that we say and do. It'll always say the beginning of the message, the beginning of the teaching. And there'll be a four-digit blue number there. Click on that number, and it'll take you to that exact spot in the video. Now that I said that, everybody, well, you guys are all watching me on YouTube, so don't you do it, because you'll go away. I've got a second device here I can use. So let me go back over here and find last night. And let me see if I can find the timestamp. Oh, yeah. Yep, I did. See if I can show it to you. See how right underneath my name it says 3546, and that's highlighted blue? If you just click on that, it'll take you to that exact spot in the video so that when you click the play button, you're right there where the message begins. 3846 for last night. And it's just about that for tonight. And that way you can get there and find this. Now, hi, Sister Rebecca, Sister Sunday, all of you that's joining us on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio around the world. Now, let's get a little bit of recap from last night. And I'll remind you of my story from last night. And that's the story of when I was picking tomatoes in the garden in Kentucky. You got to pick tomatoes because if you don't eat tomatoes in the summertime, I mean, are you a real American if you don't eat tomatoes, you know? But I'm picking tomatoes. I'm all by myself. I'm down in the garden and got my farm all seed and a tractor and a wagon and got my buckets, you know, I'm kicking it. I'm a young man, about 15 years old. I'm on my own all summer, all by myself. Life is good. And I got back to the spot where I was picking tomatoes, and I'm down there picking some tomatoes up and putting it in, and I looked up, and there's a snake with his head looking over top of the tomato bush at me. You know, that far from me. And I couldn't tell you which of us went farther faster. I do believe it was me. Because I don't believe snakes can move that fast. Only humans, which have seen a snake, can move that fast. And, you know, now I have a choice. Am I going to go back there, or am I going to let fear drive me off of that which belongs to me, 15 buckets of red tomatoes? Well, I had to take a stick and go back there, grab a hoe. Of course, it was a black snake. Everybody liked those kind of snakes because they ate the rattlesnakes. Thank you, Jesus, for the black snake. And so we didn't want to kill that. Just wanted to make sure he was far enough away not to scare me any longer. I'm sure he was just a friend. Matter of fact, Mr. Higgins was a gardener. He was probably a pet of Mr. Higgins, knowing Mr. Higgins. However, he wasn't my pet, and I no longer wanted him there. Here's the point of the story. It's your garden. Your life is your garden. Keep it as clean and free as you want it. I would recommend you keep it as clean and clear and organized as the Bible says to keep it. I know many people all their life have said, hey, it's your life, live it however you want to. That's really not the truth. You were put here by God with a very specific plan that is absolutely amazing. It has a future. It has a hope. It has an expected retirement that's out of this world. But you got to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake that he laid out for you. So I encourage people, it's right out of Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will direct it, and he'll help you find it. Turn with me for our first verse of scripture tonight. To 1 Corinthians 15:34. 1 Corinthians 15:34. This is our foundation verse for all of this series that we're going to be doing. If one of you got your app and you can copy that and paste it right into the comments, that's cool. I like to see that. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. And I speak this to their shame. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. One translation says, and you will not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Paul's not saying, try harder, work more diligently, make a greater decision, be more determined. Paul is saying, awake to the fact that you've been made righteous, and you will not sin. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. No, go with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse number 17 through 19. Now, we go here every night with communion, but I want to give it to us again tonight. And I heard somebody preaching on righteousness today, and they made this statement, powerful statement, and it came from the Holy Spirit. Hi, Juliana. It's so good to have you with us tonight. We bless you, and we bless your family, and we bless your life. In Jesus' mighty name. We're in 1 John 4:17-19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, what is that boldness? We have awakened to righteousness and we don't sin. Why? Because as he is right now, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out the fear of your failures from the past. Perfect love casts out the fear of trauma that happened in the past. Perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear has torment, trauma. he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 3. I know I'm just starting right out with a bunch of verses, but I want to get this foundation laid for us because I don't want anyone to be condemned tonight in any way. 1 John. Say again.
1 John. What?
1 John chapter 3. And we're going to go down here. Verses 7 through 9. 1 John 3, 7 through 9. Welcome, Rebecca, Juliana, all of you over there on Facebook, YouTube. All of you on FaceTube, U-Book. 1 John 3, 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin. And in him, there is no sin. So as he is, so are we in this world. In him, there is no sin. Why? The Father gave him his righteousness, and Jesus received it and walked in it. Jesus, where his blood gives you and I his righteousness, and we receive it and we walk in it. Keep reading. 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. That verse is actually in the Bible. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. There's a whole lot of highly paid theologians that need to read that verse without their theology book. They need to read the verse like it's right out of God's holy word. I'm going to read 6 again. Whoever abides in him, Jesus, you notice that's capitalized, does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness or lives righteously is righteous. And just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. And the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Did Jesus destroy the works of the devil? Somebody give me an answer. Amen.
Agreed, amen.
Amen. 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed, his, capitalized, his seed remains in him. That him is whoever's born of God. And he cannot sin because he's been born again of God. Now, 1 Peter 21, and through 24. 1 Peter 1, 21 through 24. For to this you were called. Well, here's your calling right now. I love it. I love it that God makes it that plain, that easy to see. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Colon, It's not the end of that statement. So this phrase is not complete. Look at that colon. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. To this you were called, but it isn't your own strength. It's the power of Jesus' righteousness. Keep reading. Who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live by righteousness. Want to say it with me? I have died to sin. I have died to sin, and I am living unto righteousness. Now, I know some of you are going to say, by whose stripes we're healed. Don't miss that last part. As Jesus is right now, so are we. Why? Because we are his body. That's not just a philosophical statement that exists in a theoretical realm of invisibility where nobody can reach it. No, as he is, we are his, the hands and feet of Jesus. So just ask him, Jesus, do you have any sin in you? And he's going to say, no, I don't. But some of all y'all that's in my body do, and get rid of it. Walk in the newness of life in righteousness. Now, let's go grab an Old Testament verse next. And go in that. Somebody shout a big amen or hallelujah or something.
A great amen. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Aren't you glad you're in the kingdom? I am. I am very glad I am in the kingdom. Let me mark this page. I got to come back here. Did I tell you where we're going? Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I love the word of God. Want to say it with me? I am awake to righteousness, and I do not sin. Some of you, I can tell that's a very life-stretching statement. Say it again. I am awake to righteousness, and I do not sin. But, Pastor, I do sin. I know, but it's not your nature anymore. So start speaking the righteousness, and the righteousness will come to pass rather than speaking the sin and getting the sin to come to pass. The power of life and death is in your tongue. Whatever you speak, you're going to get. Now watch this. This is so good. Let's go to Psalm 103, and let's go to verse number 6 through verse number 12. Verse 6 through verse 12. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Did you notice that it doesn't say vengeance. Revenge, one verse says vengeance, but it doesn't say revenge, hatred. No. What does the Lord execute? Righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Now look at verse 9, or verse 8. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. We're going to read that in just a minute. Forever. Verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquity, because if he did, we would be worthy of death and hell. The soul that sinneth, the Bible says, it shall die. All right, so he's not dealt with us according to our sins. He's not punished us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Well, now, how far is the east from the west? You'll never stop going east if you go. You'll never stop going west if you go. I want you to see something that God is teaching us here. That's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. He has removed those transgressions from us today. Father, we pray for Sunday tonight in her physical body, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we already know in Sunday's life, she's born again. She is filled with your Holy Spirit. She is walking with you in faith and victory every day. And so, body, we command you now that you get in line with the Word of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of our sister. Body, receive life and health and strength right now, tonight, so our sister can be here with us. I rebuke every symptom of any kind. You must release your grip and allow our sister to live the life filled with the power, strength of Almighty God. Like the lady said, they were testifying about today, where she said, Jesus, do you have a lump in your breast? And Jesus said, no, I don't. And she said, well, then neither do I. As you are, so am I in this world. In Jesus' mighty name, we speak it right now over you, Sister Sunday. Life and health and strength in your body. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody in agreement, shout a big amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I'm in Psalm 103:12. Now look at this. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. One of the greatest causes of failure in our Christian life is the condemnation that comes from being sin conscience. Always thinking about the sins of your past. Well, this verse tells you that no matter what you did in the past, if you put it under the blood by an act of your faith, it's under the blood. This morning at 4:30, the Lord woke me up. And I walked out here into the front room, and I'm not someone that kneels and prays. That usually equates to more sleepage with me, so I just walk and pray. And, you know, Jesus and his favorite apostle, Andy, they walked in the garden. Andy walked with me, with Jesus in the garden. Anyways, that was a good one, Andy. But, so I'm out there here this morning praying. And God, I don't even know how to tell you I got in there, but God led me down a path of a new understanding I don't believe I've ever had in my whole life. I mean, I'm 59 years old, been around the kingdom for 47 years. And as I was just praying in spirit, worshiping God, I'm praying for all of you. I made mention of every one of your names that I know. I've mentioned every one of you to God. God gave me a revelation this morning of something I have never seen before. And I began to record it and write about it and put it in order. And I'm not ready to share that with you this morning. But this is what I said. Jesus, I'm 59 years old. And today is the first day I've got the revelation of this factor like this. Please forgive me, because there's a whole lot of years of lack of production that I missed because I didn't have this revelation. Now, the reality is nobody around me had this revelation. I've never heard anybody talk about this. That's why I got to put some serious time into studying it, working it, developing it, so that I can, now that he gave me the revelation, now I got to flesh it out. Now I got to put chapter and verse in there. Now I got to, just like you do, when God gives you a revelation, go after it. And don't get off of it until he moves you to something new. Why? My first statement is, wow, I failed on that. And I'm like, how in the world do you fix that? And he goes, you didn't know about it till today. So it's under the blood. I've given you the revelation so that you'll begin to share it with other people. Now work it up. So every single one of you this morning, and every day I pray for you, I pray for you to come to a brand new revelation of who Almighty God is in your life. My prayer this morning is that you will grow into and through this next level of promotion that God has moved us to. It's a new playing field. It's a new plateau where we got a whole new view of God. And now it's like, well, this feels a little different. And a lot of people, when they get to a level like this, when it feels different, they go back to the old level because it's familiar. Don't do that. Get your Bible out. Study some new verses. Study some new things. And grasp the impact of this level on this earth. I have taught a lot of messages, and I can teach on this, so I'm going to share this statement with you. This is another one of those revelations. Yeah, I was talking to God. Somebody, when we were at the faith conference, called me a billionaire, and I said, well, thank you very much. I receive it. Keep talking. And the Father said to me, billionaire is not a financial, my kingdom doesn't have billionaires. We have billion-dollar kingdomaires because that's their socio-economic influence realm. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Look at that revelation. It's your socioeconomic influence realm. What did I just share with you? God gave me two new revelations, but just because you got the revelation doesn't mean that you're actually into it yet. It means now I got it. Now I got to get my Bible out. I got to get my notepad out. Got to write it in my notebook. Got to write it in my notepad on my phone. Got to make some audio recordings of it. Hey, turn your camera on and make a video of yourself. It'll scare some of you, but it's all right. Your voice sounds that weird all the time anyways. Don't be offended by that. But why? It's a new revelation. Some of you right here, these verses, it's all new revelation to you. Write down the reference. Write down the reference. And begin to meditate in it. And when you see one verse with it, look at what other verses are in there. Search all those words of that. Begin to see what else God is saying on that. And you'll start to build yourself a doctrine that you can believe and be strong in. So, Psalm 103 verse 10 says, he's not dealt with us according to our sins. If Jesus dealt with us according to our sins, what would be the judgment? Death and hell. That's what sin deserves. The soul that sinneth, it shall die and go to hell. I don't want you to be freaked out. Remember, everybody that's here is chasing after God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But we got enough sense to say, I can see something new here. I am going to a new level in God today. Now look at this. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Psalm 103, 10 and 11. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him and walk with him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And he threw them into the sea of his forgetfulness. To never be remembered against you another day. I'm going the wrong way here. Let's go to Psalm 51. Look at this one. Psalm 51. I'm way off my notes, but it doesn't matter. I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit because he knows where he's going, and I'm going to be right in that spot. Psalm 51 is the psalm that David wrote after he had sinned with Bathsheba. And Nathan the prophet showed up and said, boy, you have done wrong. You have done very wrong. And now God is going to judge you. Watch. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude. I'm going to read the whole psalm, Psalm 51, 1 through 19. Thank you, Rebecca and Sunday, for your help. Amen. I speak life over you and blessings and wholeness and perfect health. Amen. Psalm 51, 1 through 19. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Did God do that for David? Yes, he did. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge me. Now, David sinned against more than just God, because he killed Uriah the Hittite so that he could have Bathsheba as a wife. Want to say it with me? No, 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 and no. Don't do that. 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin, my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. That's what they did in the Old Testament. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's where the old hymn comes from. Whiter than snow. Yes, whiter than snow. Ready? 3. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. David realizes of what is there. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. These are the prayers that we should be praying if we sin and trample the Son of God under our feet and count light the blood of Jesus, count it common, and insult the Spirit of grace. That's what happens when you sin after you've been born again. 11, do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud, look at this, of your righteousness. David was guilty of bloodshed, of a valiant warrior, mighty man of God. Don't be that person. 15, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or I would give it. You don't delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offering and the whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Now you and I know that all of those acts, righteousness, is what they did in the Old Testament. But you and I don't have any of those acts that we do. We receive Jesus' blood, and we are born again, and our sins are thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness immediately, never to be remembered against us another day. We read last night that it's possible to frustrate the Spirit of grace. Well, you don't want to do that. Why? Because you want to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The greatest thing that we've got to do in the understanding of this week while we study this is get it forever settled in our minds that the preachers that are telling us it's okay if you sin, it's no big deal, God still loves you, he does, God still cares for you, he does, and God just doesn't even care if you sin, that's wrong. He does care if you sin. Because when you sin, you trample the Son of God under your feet. You count the blood of the covenant, a common thing, and you insult the spirit of grace. Pastor, I don't ever want to do that again. The reason why you say that is because on the inside, righteousness is working, saying, I'm not going to do that. I will never do that to Jesus. Well, there's a lot of people that they've never heard that voice make that statement yet because they didn't get righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They got religiosity of their church. And in the day we live, the time is too close. You've got to know that you have been born again, not just a religious feeling that made you feel good. You got to know that you have said, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Wash me with your blood. Make me white as snow. I receive you into my life. And he comes in. Let's go to Jeremiah 22. And we're going to read one through six. Now watch this. Look at the very first sentence of verse number one. Woe to the shepherds. Why did he say that? He said it because the shepherds are doing wrong. And he's going to say it. Who destroy and scatter the sheep of my shepherd, of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherd who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord. This is a word to the Old Testament shepherds who were, he's making the correlation of Israel as being the sheep. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking anything, says the Lord, says the Lord. Now, you and I are supposed to be a correlated relationship that causes growth and development. Look what it says in verse 4. You will fear no more. You will not be dismayed. And there will be nothing lacking. Not because I tell you it's all right to go live however you want to. Because I have introduced you to the Lord, our righteousness. And you no longer sin. Now, for most everybody I know here, you're walking with God every day. This revelation is the next great revelation you got to get in your life. Let's keep reading. Verse 5, because verse 5 is about our day. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness, Jesus. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. That's what's happening right now. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name. Notice that his it's capitalized, by which he will be called the Lord, our righteousness, Jehovah Tzidkenu. The Lord, he is our righteousness. Now, David in their generation, they didn't get to have that. Till the veil of the temple was rent in twain, till Jesus, well, wait, let me get it right order. Till Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived his life, succeeded in his ministry, lived without sin, died on the cross, said it is finished. At that moment, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, opening up the Holy of Holies, so that by his blood and his righteousness, we can enter into the throne room of God boldly. And when we get there, we'll find grace and help for our assignment every day. And what is his name? The Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. Now, it's 8:30 Central Time. And so I'm going to begin to read these verses now. The next process that I'm going to go through for us is I want to sin every time it's used in the New Testament. I want you to hear what Jesus says about it. I want you to hear what the Father says about it. I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit says in Acts, in the epistles, throughout the New Testament, even in the book of Revelation, so that you and I have in our ears and in our heart an understanding of what the New Testament says, so that anytime we hear somebody preaching something that ain't right, we're like, oh, hold it. You don't stand up in a church service and rebuke a preacher. You're out of order if you do that. But send him an email. Ask a question, whatever their process is. Say, what about this? And then give this study to him and say, have you done this study? Because the revelation is, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. When you know the truth, John chapter 8, when you know the truth, the word of God, the truth will set you free. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, you guys got to quit sending me those notifications. Let's go, first of all, to let me find my notes here. Sakes alive. That's a long ways down there. Let's go to John 5. I was getting ready to read those verses, but I got to read this. John chapter 5, 35 through 40. John 5, 35 through 40. This is powerful to the scribes and the Pharisees. And it's speaking of John. He was the burning and shining light, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Thank you, Rebecca. So speaking of John the Baptist, Jesus is looking at the scribes and Pharisees saying, for a period of time, you went out and followed him. Verse 36, I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who sent me has testified of me. Jesus sent these guys stuff. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And you know what that's saying? But he showed himself to you and he spoke to you. 38. You do not have his word abiding in you because him whom he sent, you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And the scriptures are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have eternal life. Jesus said in 38, you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, you don't believe. Think about what Jesus is saying. It's the truth in all of our lives. No matter who you are, no matter what the subject is, the reason you don't have a solid belief shouting, "Woo, glory," is because you don't have his word abiding in you. Now, those of you that's with us here every night, you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been saved. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. And you're chasing after him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This series this week is just taking us to a whole new level in God. Because verse 40, he said to them, you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. But you and I are willing to come to him and have already come to him. And you want to shout it with me? Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Go ahead, Roger. You can shout it if you want.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. This is one of those mysteries. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Jesus, blood and righteousness in me right now, causing me to be elevated above sin and not sin. Oh, this is so good. Verse 16, Matthew 13, 16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Say it with me. Blessed are my eyes, for they see, and blessed are my ears, for they hear. Parable. There were people standing there who did not believe. And there was a reason that they did not believe, which is why Jesus used the parables and told the disciples he was going to use the parables. Let's read 14 and 15 now. Matthew 13, 14, and 15. In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear, but you will not understand. And seeing, you will see, but not perceive. Why? For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their hearts were dull. Well, how do you not have a dull heart? Sharpen up your axe. Nobody can keep your edge sharp except you. The people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts in turn so that I should heal them. But I got a word for you. You've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have been new. Your sins were not held against you, imputed against you in the courtroom of heaven. Jesus reconciled us to the Father all in one act of the prayer of salvation. Now what matters is, are we keeping our ears tuned in to the Word of God? And that's not anything that any of us can do for anyone else. That's something that each of us must do for ourselves, act of our will, saying, come on here, you are now going to hear the Word of God. And Jesus said right here, these are those whose hearts have become dull. Their eyes, they have closed. Their ears, they have closed. Some of the words that you can tell if your eyes are closed or your ears are closed is, well, I know Pastor teaches that, and I think it's in the Bible, but it doesn't make any sense to me, so I'm not going to worry about it. You're closing your ears. Wow, that verse is amazing, but never going to search it out, that you're closing your eyes. Don't do that. God's not standing there with a club to beat you. You and I can't shy away from the revelation. We got to enter in. We got to attack. We got to say, I'm going to get that revelation. Even if I only get one verse at a time, I am going to get this revelation in my life. And what's the revelation? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, received by faith and lived in by faith every day. Let's keep reading. A continual resistance to growth will make you hard-hearted and stiff-necked. That is what happened to Cain, and Cain never found a way back. To be continually resisting growing, you will cause your own heart to become dull and hardened, and your ears will no longer receive the truth, and your eyes won't be illuminated by it any longer like it used to be. Don't shy away from the verses that make you get real serious about where you are in your life. Embrace them. Don't run from your Father. Run to him. Don't run away from the Word. Run to it. Why? Because the Word of God is your answer. John 4:23-24. The time is coming, and now is, when the worshipers will seek him in spirit and in truth, because the Father is seeking those. The Father is seeking a relationship with you every day. One time we were praying here in the house, Leanne and I, and the Father said, why are you talking as if I'm not in the room? Why don't you address me, not just talk about me? Okay. Rather than saying, he is worthy, then let's you and I say, Father, thank you, Jesus. He alone, you alone, Jesus, are worthy. You and I have every right and access to come boldly to the throne room of grace because of Jesus' righteousness. The number one thing that stops every one of us is that we remember the things that we did one time. Yes, that's correct. Thank you, Rebecca. We remember the sins And Jesus has thrown him into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. But we do. And when we do, we have a condemning spirit that joins us. And we have a belittling spirit. And now you've gone back to your past outside of the blood of Jesus and his righteousness. And now you're going to be revisiting events and things that happened that you have done under the blood, but you're going to go back in a renewed state, and you're going to be fellowshipping with a demon that was in an old state. And that's always going to lead you into deception. Don't do it. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Jesus said, anyone who comes to me, I will in no way cast them out. Where God's taking us right now in this revelation is, it is time to get rid of the past, stand boldly in who you are today, and move forward in God. The past is under the blood. Want to say it with me? The past is under the blood. You say it. The past is under the blood. Since it's under the blood, leave it there and walk away from it. Oh, this is so good. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled with righteousness. Jesus said, anyone who comes to me, I will in no way cast him out. Why? Because he loves you and he wants you with him. Well, let's see. We just catch up on my notes here. I'm like way down on the page here. All right. Chapter 5, verse 21, add that verse in there, says, where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. In the Old Testament, God said to the children of Israel that they had gone whoring after other gods, his words. And God divorced them. Yes, he did. Just let that settle in. And Brother Jesse says, there's a lot of churches where Jesus couldn't preach because he divorced Israel. The reason God said that to those people is they went chasing after another god. Don't do that. Don't chase after the god of sin every day in word, thought, and deed. He's not. That's not our God. That tramples Jesus underfoot. That counts common the blood of Christ. That insults the spirit of grace. You can't do that. Now, we've got about 15 minutes to read a bunch of these verses that have the word sin in them. And I want you to see, I want you to train your eye, tune your ear to hear what it is that is being said in these verses about sin. Because we're going to see the overall picture of God and sin as we read these verses. Let me get this over here. On this screen. Let me get this screen over here like that. And that one. over there like that, and that one over there like that. Hold on, almost there. There we go. Now I can see everybody. Now, where are we at? Matthew, here we go. Matthew 5:29. The very first verse on sin. Watch this. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Two times in two verses, Jesus uses the word hell and is telling you, don't go there. Don't go there. Wait a minute. Let's do this. Hold on here. I'm almost there. I was really going to do something here. Most people don't like that verse that says cut it off. Jesus wasn't talking about dismemberment. Jesus was talking about getting serious to get the sin out. There we go. I just got thinking. I don't have to have all these by myself. I can put these right up here where you can see them. All of these are verses about sin. And I might as well just get them up here where we can all read them together. Right? A lot of verses in there. Matthew 18 through 22. This is a whole set of verses about sin. Watch this. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to even hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. This is a brother. This is a fellow believer. And Jesus just said, if he refuses to turn, then you got to treat him like he's a sinner. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst of them. This isn't God telling that man he's an unbeliever. It's his brothers in the church. You're an unbeliever. You won't turn from your sin. The instruction of Jesus. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And the other scripture reference says, in one day. What does Jesus think about sin? Mark chapter 9, verse 43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. 9:47, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell. Jesus is serious about this. The last one was Matthew. This is Mark saying the exact same thing, that your hand, what you do, your feet, where you go, your eyes, what you see, can cause you to go astray. Get control of your personal being. You do it. He is living on the inside of you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. Therefore, you have all the power, strength, anointing, and everything you need to bring this body into subjection to the word of God. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. And you are now righteous. So all of this stuff should no longer have an effect. When it comes back at you, it's the devil shooting a fiery dart at you, trying to get you to stumble. Take the word he shoots and claim it as your own. Don't do it. Jesus said, why do you take a thought by saying it? When the enemy shoots a fiery dart that says you're depressed, don't open your mouth and say, I'm depressed. Open your mouth and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The same spirit that raised me, Jesus, from the dead is lifting me and giving me life in my body right now. The spirit of God has set me free of the law of sin and death. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. I know some of you are saying right now, yeah, but Pastor, I'm not a Bible scholar like you. I couldn't say those verses like you. I wasn't a Bible scholar when I began to speak those words. I was a truck driver. And I wrote them on library cards. Did I ever find them? I wrote them on library cards. And I stuck them in my pocket so that I could speak them while I'm going down the road. I'd pull them out of my pocket and I would proclaim the word of God in my life so that I could be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Anyways, I got him in there somewhere. I saved him. That's how I began to get this revelation. And then Jesus said, to him who has revelation that you are grabbing a hold of and getting by determination, he's going to give you more revelation and a greater understanding than you've ever had before. But it's in your lap and your determination. John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So I have a question. For how long? Jesus just take your sin away on the day you got born again? Or does he hold it for 3 days or 9 or 3 months? No. He's taken away the sin of the world and he's given you his righteousness. John 5:14, these are great verses. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and he said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more lest the worst thing come upon you. Jesus wouldn't have said that to him unless it was possible. Jesus said to the man that just got up from the pool of Bethesda, that's where this reference is, sin no more. Why? Because Jesus did the work in him when he healed him. Well, you can't. No human in their own strength and their own righteousness can live a life and not sin anymore, because you don't have the ability to produce righteousness on the inside of you except for what Jesus gave you. I'm preaching better than you're staring, and some of you are listening at home and haven't even come on and said hi or nothing, and we want to see you. Every one of us have sinned. I've sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. For how long? Until you want to go back to it? Well, no, Pastor, I don't want to go back to it. I didn't think so. See, that's where all these thoughts are coming from. They got a foundation in these deceptive words that's come from the pulpit. The only thing that's important is to be born again. Nothing else matters after that. No. Being born again is the first step to your new life in Christ. John 8, verse 7. So when they continued asking, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And they all began to go away, from the youngest to the oldest, until no one was standing there. And Jesus said to the woman, ma'am, are your accusers? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. This is before the cross. Why would Jesus tell her to do something that she couldn't do? He didn't. He told her something she could do, because at that moment, Jesus changed her life and gave her the ability to overcome sin. Jesus is saying it to you today. Go and sin no more. But not in your own strength, based in my blood and righteousness. John 8:21, Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. He was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, who would not seek after him. And no matter what miracle they saw, they would not believe that he was the Christ. So he looked at him and he said, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Man, what a horrible thing to have Jesus say to you. That wasn't prophesying because that's what he wanted. That was reading the fruit and saying, you will not receive me. And because you don't, then you don't get to enter in. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Verse 35, and a slave does not abide in his house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Every time preacher begins to preach this message, it stirs up a whole bunch of people against him because the enemy doesn't want people to believe that they can actually live above sin. Well, all of us know that we can live, stay alive in sin. But we also know that we can live in his righteousness. And that doesn't have anything to do with what you did. That's under the sea of his forgetfulness. Wiped away, never to be remembered. When you go back to talk to Jesus about it, he doesn't even know what you're talking about because he wiped the slate clean. Your sins were not imputed against you. He does not keep record of wrong against you. Only man does that. Fought off bad thoughts all day today. Kept telling those to get out and be replaced, each one of them, with words. Amen. Amen, Rebecca. Hallelujah. That's the way right there. That's how you do it. That is how you do it. Right there. You won. All right. John 8:46. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? That's John 8:46. I'm going to grab that. Let's go to 42 and then we'll read down. If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father, you want. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources on the inside, for he is a liar and the father of lies. 45. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe in me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. And they said, you have a demon. Why? He was exposing the fact that they loved the deception that they lived in because it made them feel, who knows, false sense of security, false sense of importance. Who knows why they liked that feeling of sin and insecurity and religiosity. John 9:41. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. That's a deep revelation. And I'm not going to open it right now. Let's read 35 through 41. John 9:35-41. Oh my goodness, already? Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? This is the guy that was just healed. Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Why? He came in contact with God, said, wow, this is God. I receive it. I receive my healing, and I worship you. See, there's a lot of people that's too simple. Pastor, don't you know that I'm more of a complicated type person, and I'm a little bit deeper than that, and I have a greater understanding of the Word of God. No, you're so deep, you're about to drown. Yep. 39, Jesus said, for judgment I've come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Why? Because they did not receive Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse numbers 12, 13, and 14, Jesus said, to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of Almighty God. See, it's not hard to understand sin and how much Jesus has actually set us free from it. We just have to open this up and read it. John 15:22. Let's look at that. I might read an extra verse then. Wow. Let's read verse 20, and we'll read down through 27. Remember the word that I said to you, servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep your word also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me, Jesus. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. Why? They wouldn't arise. It was a sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. This happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. The law that all of those scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees knew and could quote. They could quote it, but it did them no good. Verse 26. But when the Helper comes, who will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, we've got to be finished here now for tonight. And receive our communion elements. Now.
So soon?
Well, this is a 5 or 6 night study, Brother Roger. Because we got to be able to just keep reading these verses And I want everybody to have plenty of time to go back and hear the word again and study it again a couple more times before they come, so that help me get this revelation, Jesus, so that I can know the truth, and the truth set me free. And
Pastor, be kind.
Do what?
Be kind, Pastor, be kind.
All right. So, I want to say a couple of things here in recap of tonight. Why would Jesus tell them, go and sin no more, unless it was possible for them? And as we studied this tonight, we see David said he was filled with the righteousness of God. Paul said he was filled with the righteousness of God. Jesus said they have closed their own ears themselves and have become hard of hearing. We're going all the way back to the beginning, the very first verse that we were studying tonight, and that says this: awake to righteousness and do not sin, or you will not sin. Once you and I come to the revelation of the righteousness of God, we are not going to sin, because the revelation of his righteousness is that it is so, so beautiful. Jesus' righteousness is so perfect that there's no way we would tarnish that beautiful sacrifice that was made for us, by which all of our sins were wiped away. There would be no way we would violate that by his sin. Go with me to Hebrews 10. I'm just going to read it again, because this is another one of our foundation verses that we have for this series, Awake to Righteousness and Do Not Sin. Angel Collier, it's good to see you with us, young lady. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your love, your faith. And we speak our faith over you and Alan, over your bodies, that they're healthy, over your life, and from your words, over Paige Noel. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, my goodness. I'm in Hebrews 10, 24 through 31. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. 26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for us. I want to keep reading this verse, not to scare you, but to cause you to live in the fear of the Lord. It's not about, God's not standing with a club. Look what it says. Verse 28, 27, a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will one be thought worthy of, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Those verses may have never come alive to you before tonight. But when you and I sinned, after we have found Jesus, 29 is exactly what happens. You might say, Pastor, what am I going to do? Awake to righteousness. Now listen to me. I want to say this and want you to get it. While you're yet in sin, while you're still saying, I can't overcome this, you need to begin to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because as you make that declaration, you are declaring who you actually are. And if you'll say that enough, often enough in one day, you'll begin to make that statement from the depth of your heart saying, wait a minute, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I did nothing to earn it. Jesus gave it to me. Jesus made me into it. Thank you, Lord, I get to live in your righteousness. Awake to righteousness, and you won't sin. But when you and I, who've been believers for many years, still sin, verse 29 is what goes on. And which of us want to trample Jesus underfoot? Or count common the blood of the new covenant? Or insult the spirit of grace? Everybody here is going to be like, well, not me. Yeah, that's right. Therefore, stick with me and get this revelation of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Awake to righteousness, and you will not sin. Awake to righteousness, and you will not sin. Now, I got all the way down to from Matthew to John 16 tonight of the verses in the New Testament that have the word sin in them. We're going to read all of those verses. And when we're finished, we're going to read all the verses that have the word righteousness in them. I don't want you to be sin conscious, but there's many people who do not realize exactly what happens when they sin after they've come to the knowledge of Jesus. And they don't realize that they're violating the greatest blessing and benefit and the greatest empowerment that we have ever could ever be given, and that is that the blood of Jesus has presented us to the righteousness of God. And I said to you several times, I didn't get the revelation of this until I'd been pastoring for 20 years. That's a long time. That's a very long time. But the bottom line is it was covered up by religiosity. It was covered up by religious indoctrination. It was covered up by years of confusion of preachers who didn't teach the truth the way it actually was. Now, wait, you can't hide behind that preacher. You got to say, wait, I had a Bible, so I could study it. And God was leading me to study it and get a revelation of it. But I would study a certain distance in it, and then I would have one of these statements that men of God would make. I'm like, it doesn't matter. You're going to sin. Everybody's going to sin. You can't be perfect. And so that just is what happens. And so then it'd be like, well, you know, what is that all about? I never just gave up and said, well, who cares? I didn't ever do that. I'm like, why would you say that? And then I would go into this battle of, Jesus, help me get the revelation of this thing. The enemy would throw in a huge battle in life of finances or health or something in the ministry to keep us from being able to focus on this one doctrine so that we could be free from sin and live no longer therein. Anytime a picture of sin comes, confront it. That's just a fiery dart of the enemy trying to tell me I am what my past is. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I have been made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You want a few verses to memorize to help you? Romans 5, 15 through 21. And 2 Corinthians 17 through 21. Romans 5, 15 through 21. And 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Get those verses. Get them down inside of you. The whole time you're memorizing them. The whole time you're memorizing them. Say, Father, give me the revelation. God doesn't care how many verses you have memorized. God wants to know, did they speak to you? Romans 5, 15 to 21. And 2 Corinthians 5. 17 through 21, two of the most powerful sets of verses in the New Testament that's talking about the free gift of righteousness. And then that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I like Brother Jesse's statement. I'm going to find that message and play you that short. It's about 8 minutes long where he's teaching. Quit trying to become what you already are. You are the righteousness. You don't have to keep a list of things to be righteous. You just received it. You just received it. Want to say it with me? Everybody, lift your hands and say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Thank you, Roger. I know you are in my life.
I know you are in my life.
And I receive Jesus' righteousness.
And I receive Jesus'
righteousness. And walk in that every single day.
And walk in that every single day.
Help me get the revelation.
Help me get the revelation.
That you are showing to us, Holy Spirit.
That you are showing us, Holy Spirit.
I receive it in Jesus' mighty name.
I receive it in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Now, I know it's real tempting to be very frustrated. I was very frustrated in many points of my life on this very subject. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest blessing you'll ever have is when you see a doctrine in the Bible that doesn't make sense and you go charging in after it and you say, it doesn't matter. I am going to come to an understanding of exactly what that verse is talking about so that I can be blessed and walk in the paths of righteousness for Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name and for his sake. Because that is what the Bible is talking about, walking in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, let's receive our communion elements together. We always do this every time we come together. It's always a blessing because you get to see yourself in the body of Christ. Jesus' body was broken open so that you and I could enter in and be a part of it. We are the body of Christ. Say this with me. Jesus, do you have any sin in you? What's the obvious answer? No. Well, then as he is, so am I in this world. Some of you, the problem is you enjoy that sin because you've seared your conscience so much. And it's important that you begin to see the sin for what it really is and the damage it's having on you and your life. Because sin begins to affect you spiritually, in your relationship with the Father. It begins to affect your relationship with other people. And sin will begin to affect the health of your body, because on the inside, you'll be at war with yourself. And you don't want to be at war with yourself. You want this body to be at peace in Jesus' mighty name. No matter who you are, don't hang up. Receive communion with us. Huh. Well, who we got with us tonight that can read the communion verses? Because I forgot my communion elements. Somebody sing? I got to go get my communion elements. I'll be right back. All right, it's not every night that we do that, but it'll be all right. Awake to the communion elements before you start the program. And then you won't forget them. Here we go. Here's how we do it here. We read these verses. We pray the prayer of salvation. Then we give you a couple minutes of instruction, and then we will receive the elements together in Jesus' mighty name. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he broke it, he blessed it, and he said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often," verse 26, "for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So make sure," verse 28, "let a man examine himself," not somebody else, "and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 31, "if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." I don't usually read verse 27 because the church has so taken that out of context and taught it extremely erroneously. If you have sinned, you need the communion elements. Don't run from them, run to them. But examine yourself, pray, seek his face, repent of your sin, and then, like 28 says, let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in love. I say this all the time. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bind the trauma and whatever fear might be in your life that has caused you to be frail and to be weak and fail and frail and afraid. You may have had a severely traumatic experience in your life. There's people who have faced trauma in the day that we live that you can't even imagine in your wildest imagination would have actually happened to a human in the day that we live, but it does. And if that's the case, you don't need more drugs. You need the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Just lift your hands toward me. Father, I speak over you, each of these right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, if I was there, I would put my hand upon their head and I would speak over them and I would bless them in the name of Jesus. I call you delivered in Jesus' mighty name. Right now, forever from that trauma. Just say it with me. Trauma, go. I am free from your effect. Trauma is a natural effect, a physiological effect, a psychological effect that happens when severe things are happening to people. I was talking with a man the other day about his father was a World War II vet. And he remembered the Battle of the Bulge. And he remembered a few more of the battles. But when it came to the prison camps, he didn't remember it. He had no memory. His mind had blocked it out. He was there for it. He faced it. He endured it. But it was so traumatizing to him that his mind blocked it out and put it behind a wall that was never going to be reached again. But I declare in your life, all walls removed, the blood of Jesus put on you, and you are totally set free by the power of Almighty God right here in the middle of communion in Jesus' mighty name. I know some of you might say, well, Pastor, just do communion. You can do all that later. Hey, I had an Easter Sunday that right during the offering would cast a demon out of a girl. It doesn't matter to me when I speak a word that helps someone. I don't have an agenda. I have his agenda. He's the one that's leading me to help everybody who's here. And I'm glad I'm helping you right now. Now, stay with us. Get you some bread and some grape juice, some water, whatever you got, cracker, so that you can receive these communion elements with us in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Brother Roger, I'll need you to pray this prayer with me as we pray the prayer of salvation. Brother Dan, both of you guys can pray it. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Everybody pray it with me. If you've been away from God and you're coming back, it'll work. If you are, you've been a believer for all your life, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. The more you say it, the deeper it gets. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus,
other name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Now here's where you make your statement. Be bold about it. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all of the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen, and amen. Now, that's the first time you prayed that prayer. Welcome to the family of God. If that's the 50th time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. We're glad you're here, and we're glad you're one of us. Welcome, Sister Kathy Angaroni. We're glad you made it for the prayer of salvation. Amen. Now, say again.
The great amen.
The great amen. Now, for every one of you, no matter who you are, Jesus, the light of the world, has filled you. Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, has filled you. Jesus, the truth, the life, and the way has just come in you. You might say, wow, Pastor, that's a really, really interesting group of statements. Yes, it is, because that experience that you have right now is the experience of God Almighty being in every part, every cell of your body, every portion of your life. Think about it. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son to come and pay the price, the most severe price that could be paid on this earth. And he did. And Jesus offers you and me his righteousness. He offers it to us. He gives it to us. So that we can live in that righteousness every single day of our life. It is a wonder. It is a joy. It is a mystery. And yet it's been given to you and me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Many people will say to me, Pastor, how do I live the Christian life? How do I become a Christian? Well, you already are one, but I like to call you a believer more than a Christian, because there's a whole lot of people that have a whole lot of thoughts about what being a Christian is all about. And really, it just means a follower of Christ. But wake up every day and say, Father, I believe in you. Help me walk with you all day long today. And then you know what happens? Father helps you walk with him all day long, every day. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. And there's no way God would want to walk with me. Oh, yeah? He threw all your sins in the sea of his forgetfulness. Right now, when you just prayed that prayer, you have zero sin in your life. You have zero failure, anything in your life. It's been wiped away and washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. That is the power of who God is. That ain't a church. That ain't a denomination. That ain't a preacher. And that ain't no building. That's a relationship with you and God. And he will walk with you every single day of your life and will help you. I tell people this all the time. When you lay down in bed at night, you see before you fall asleep, say to the Father, Father, how did I do today? And then listen. And no matter what he says, whether he says, man, you did fantastic today, or he said, you had a bad attitude and you didn't do that right and you need to get it fixed. No matter what it is, it's coming from a loving Father who is guiding you in the paths of righteousness for his namesake so that you can walk with him unhindered, unaffected by anything on this earth. Just walk with him. You don't have to have a Bible. You don't have to have a denominational statement. You don't have to be sitting in a church building to understand God and his word, because he lives inside of you. Everybody say hello to Sister Leanne.
Hi, everybody. We're home. Hope.
You got to stay so they can see you.
My work warmness.
Now, communion is something that you should be doing every single day. If you can't be with us every night, we do this every night right about this time, Monday through Saturday. Sunday, we do it at noon. Then find one of our videos and pull it up. And you can receive it. Communion's always at the end of the video. And you can receive it with us live. It's like, even though it might have been from 2 years ago, it'll still have just as much power because this video is a container of the anointing of God that was on that time when we were ministering it to you. Because is you saying to Jesus, I am a part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And it's powerful. You ready? Hold up your elements. We'll bless them and we'll receive them together. Here we go. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, Lord. You were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
Chastisement for my peace.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive his broken body together. You endured the cross. You despised the shame. and you did it all for me and called it joy. Thank you. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
And I am perfect deliverance. I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed
and
away.
All things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down
forever. And there is no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
I receive it.
I receive it.
And I declare it in faith.
And I declare it in faith.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
I will always be the glorious church.
And I will always be the glorious.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive the blood of Jesus. I haven't said this in a while, but for those wondering about my communion cup, though your sins were like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Solo, for making me a communion cup. They did it just for me. You know they did, because they like me. Want to sing our song? Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Amen. And amen, and amen. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Yes, it is, Brother Roger. Are you reading the closing verses, love? necessarily are, but you, beloved. Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved. Everybody point the finger at themselves and say, that's me. Building up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. That's how you do it. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. You're going to build yourself up. You're going to do it in your most holy faith. You're going to keep yourself in the love of God. It's going to keep you in the mercy of God instead of treating people wrongly. And you're going to get eternal life. And all of it comes in that prayer of the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty good situation. Let's keep reading. On some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. These are great verses led by the Holy Spirit to read and to close our verses, our service on one. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to our God. No, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Thank you for being with us. Remember, our key verse for this whole study that we're doing right now is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 34. Awake to righteousness and you will not sin. All right, that's a coddle paraphrase. When I woke up to righteousness, ain't no way. I will not trample Jesus under my feet. I will not treat lightly the blood of the new covenant. And I will not in any way whatsoever. What is that word? The Spirit of grace. Insult the Spirit of grace. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. That's 1 Corinthians 15:34 and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Ready? Hold your hands up. Make this prayer with me. I sow my time, talent, and treasure. Into the work of the ministry tonight.
Into the work of the ministry tonight.
So that every person who came here tonight.
So that every person that came here tonight.
Receives freedom and liberty in Jesus' mighty name.
Receives freedom and liberty in Jesus' mighty name.
So their lives will never be the same.
So their lives will never be the same.
Changed forever by the word of God.
Changed forever by the word of God.
I received a hundredfold return.
I received a hundredfold
that you designed for me.
That you designed for
so me. That I can help you preach the gospel.
So that I can help you preach
around the world wherever you send
around
us.
Around the world wherever you send us.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, till we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this, that we love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Make sure you click like, subscribe, hit the bell so you can stay connected to us. Make sure you find Blog Talk Radio. Because no matter what these, how stupid these people are, you and I got to do the right thing no matter what they do. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
See you soon tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern for rebuilding the walls of righteousness. And then we'll be back here tomorrow night. We're gonna stay in it. Remember, tomorrow night we're going to finish the verses that have the word sin in them and then begin the verses that have the word righteousness in them. So that you and I actually read every verse in the New Testament with the word sin and the word righteousness. Why? That way we get an understanding of it. I've been telling you to do this, and the Holy Spirit said, well, since you told him to do it, let's do it. So everybody can be a part of it. Jesus, mighty name. Kathy Angaroni, we love you. It sure is good to hear your voice, even though we didn't. Good to see your name here tonight. We bless you and Matt and Bella and Joey. Bless you, bless you, bless you with healing, health, and strength. In Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Brother Roger, Brother Dan, Sister Kathy, Sister Sunday, we call you blessed. Every one of you wonderful believers who join with us every day. We'll see you soon.